always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Santa Ana winds quieted down somewhat in Los Angeles over the weekend, allowing people to get back in and see what's left of their homes. Those winds, however, are expected to pick up again today. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has more on the fires.
Taking advantage of a brief lull in the wind, firefighters on the ground putting out hot spots to prevent flames from reigniting. The National Guard spraying flame retardant from the air, and helicopters making water drops. The dangerous conditions have put more than 8 million under critical fire risk. The toll of what has already happened in Los Angeles County is unimaginable. At least 24 people are believed to be dead, more than 12,000 structures believed damaged or destroyed, more than 60 square miles burned, more than 100,000 under evacuation orders.
Senate confirmation hearings begin this week for President-elect Donald Trump's nominees to serve in his cabinet. U.S. and Arab mediators making progress toward brokering a ceasefire in Gaza. So far, though, no deal reached. This is ABC News. The man tapped to be the next national security advisor under the president-elect says preparations are underway for Trump to meet with Vladimir Putin and talk about the war in Ukraine. Congressman Mike Waltz speaking to ABC News.
From President Trump's perspective, you can't enter a deal if you don't have some type of relationship and dialogue with the other side. And we will absolutely establish that in the coming months.
New warnings for everyone from poultry farmers to folks with a couple of chickens in the backyard. Be careful about bird flu. Epidemiologist Thomas Dzinski at Indiana University.
The symptoms generally are very much like influenza. So you'd have a cough and runny nose and watery eyes, some chest congestion.
Another possible symptom, pink eye. Respiratory illnesses like flu and COVID now at high levels in 35 states. Doctors say they usually spike after the holiday gatherings, but lower vaccination rates are also playing a big role this year. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Lose to the Eagles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers fell behind early and lost to the Eagles 22-10 to bring Green Bay's season to an end. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
You can't start the way we did and to fumble the opening kick and then turn it into a touchdown and beat down 7-0 from the jump. You know, it was obviously too much to overcome. But I appreciate the heck out of our guys in that locker room. Those guys show up every day with a great attitude, great energy, and compete. And I thought our guys competed to the final whistle.
Quarterback Jordan Love threw 3 interceptions in the game and was asked what happened to the Packers' offense in losses to Minnesota, Chicago, and now Philadelphia.
I'm not sure. No, you know, it's something that we'll look at and figure out in the offseason to clean up. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just comes down to executing and making plays out there and just wasn't good enough.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Knicks 140-106. New York's Jalen Brunson with 41 points. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After meeting on the set of School of Rock over 2 decades ago, 2 students are tying the knot. When they were just 10 years old, Angelo Massagli, also referred to as Tough Guy in the film, and Caitlin Hale, a.k.a. Blondie, met while auditioning for the Jack Black film. The child actors connected again in 2018. By then, they had both left acting behind. Massagli is a lawyer, and Hale is now an OBGYN sonographer. The paths we take. Zombie and or Cillian Murphy fans might be upset to know that the actor will not appear in the film 28 years later. There was speculation Cillian's character Jim might be in the new installment when a preview dropped with a zombie that had striking similarities to Murphy. The Oscar-winning Oppenheimer star confirmed he is not in the new film, but is open to appearing in future 28-day films. This third installment is actually the first film in a new trilogy. 28 years later opens in June of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's cold out there this morning. The wind chill close to 20 below, and we're going to keep that wind chill factor below zero all day here today. Partly cloudy, 4 above our high this afternoon. Tonight, another wind chill night with an actual low of 5 below. Tomorrow, sunshine 9 above. We're back to 25 on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below zero.
Maggie Dawn.
Why should you care that the North Carolina Supreme Court just stopped the election and seating of a liberal justice to the North Carolina Supreme Court? We discuss next at 2 p.m.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, January 13th, 2025, and it's another beautiful, freezing cold day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the Civic Media app by podcast or watching us on Facebook or YouTube, thanks for starting your week right here. I've got a question for you. Would you feel better if I told you it was only 40 days until the Brewers' first spring training game? Or Roger from Stevens Point puts on Facebook, well, only 30 days till pitchers and catchers report for spring training. So we've got that much going for us after a Packer playoff loss that was not unexpected, but still, I don't, you know, it was harsh. It really was. And I forget if it was, I forget the play-by-play guy's name, not Tom Brady, but the other guy. When he said at one point, it feels like the Eagles should be up 78 to nothing, you know, but it was only at that point, something like, you know, 20 or 13 to 3 or something like that. But the Packers just could never get anything going. It wasn't all on them. For once, I feel like I'm the one complaining more about the referees than anybody else, but there were some things in there that just seemed to match the entire flow of the game. The things that they missed for calls against the Packers, the things that they called on the Packers. Like I said, I walked in there going, all right, let's get this whipping over with. And that's exactly what it was. You can't complain about the season. It was a good season. We are still one of the youngest team in the NFL, the youngest team in the playoffs. There is talent there. There were injuries, but no excuses. It's all done. Philly won fair and square. They advanced in the playoffs, and that's where we find ourselves at the end of another Packer season, and now 40 days in the sports desert until the Brewer spring training begins. Unless you like to follow the Bucks, the Badgers, Marquette, basketball, college hockey, all are still going on. Coming up on the program today, well, this is basically you're going to look back on this one. You're going to say, oh yeah, that was the last week of normal. Donald Trump is inaugurated 1 week from today. And so heading into this final week of the Biden presidency, this week of confirmation hearings getting going for Trump's, I don't even want to say cabinet. I like what somebody else called it, Trump's junk drawer. You know, there's still some names out there that are just head scratchers that they haven't already withdrawn. But these are the times that we're going to live in. So we'll talk about what's coming up in the Trump administration 1 week from today. And then in our second hour, we are going to hear a couple of important voices here. We are going to talk with Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford. She's a Dane County judge who is running for state Supreme Court against Scott Walker's former Attorney General Brad Schimmel for a pivotal role on the state's high court. That election will be on April 1st. And Selena Heller will join us as well, Up North News reporter. She spoke with former Governor Marty Schreiber. Wisconsin's 39th governor served in office the same time as America's 39th president in the late 1970s. And so Marty Schreiber will talk a bit about his memories of the former president. And Selena will join us as well. Temperatures right now around Wisconsin at the bus stop. I mean, you already knew it was going to be very cold, but let me reinforce how important it is to bundle up. I mean, just taking the trash out this morning, that wind hits you. It's not like it's a terribly windy day, but with temperatures below zero, it doesn't take much wind to really drop that wind chill. Here in Chippewa Falls, the temperature is 5 below 0. The wind chill is 21 below. Hayward's at -8 for a temperature right now. Amory's 9 below. Wausau 3 above. La Crosse 2 degrees above 0. Wisconsin Rapids is sitting right at 0. You ran out of degrees there, Rapids. Green Bay is at 13. Madison 7 right now. Waukesha 10. And at Radio Park in Racine, it is 15 degrees where we find the one, the only, the Civic Media t-shirt clad, Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello. Who likes, when he gets the chance on Sundays, to just cash out on the couch, but unfortunately, even if you'd gotten that chance, you would have had to be exposed to a Packer playoff game. For that, I'm sorry. Maybe next Sunday.
Well, next Sunday I get a day off, which is nice. This past Sunday, yesterday, I was very, very busy and just had to watch the score on my phone and was never shocked for one moment. And yeah, and everyone, we had a show last night, and the show got going as the game ended, and people were sort of like, yep. No one did that. Like, oh, don't talk about the game. It's just like, yep, that was the grand calculus of time in a linear direction. Well, we are going to lose.
It was the Bears' loss that did it. I mean, that game was just so upsetting.
Yeah,
and nobody came out of that game going, oh, don't worry, guys, we'll get it next week. You know, it's like, no. After that, this is what you did. With the Bears,
yeah.
There's clearly something going on. Well, there were a lot of things going on. There were injuries and, you know, mental miscues. And it again reinforces this thing that Jordan Love is a very good quarterback. He is an above average quarterback.
Yeah.
But if we were expecting to be spoiled yet again, I mean, where it turned out Aaron Rodgers was great almost out of the chute. You know, Brett Favre was not expected to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. He was. Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback. Jordan Love not looking like that yet. Not to say that he can't, no. But we just need the realistic expectation that we're going to get frustrated a lot watching him overthrow or underthrow or, you know, the short screen, the little short screen passes. They just make me absolutely crazy, especially when it's like, third and long, third and 12. Well, here's a little doink 3 yards over to the left here. No. Not gonna get it done. So, and a lot of people put things on coaching. Having never coached football, you know, I'm always, I don't jump on the coaches as much just because I don't know strategy and I just see the players either executing or not executing. Mm-hmm. But obviously, there's going to be chatter, you know, today especially about Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff, and you know, do you keep them around? And I'm like, be patient. I'm okay with that.
As far as, I mean, I'm in the same boat as you are with regard to like deep knowledge, but in my opinion, a team like they had last season with a, you know, to do as well as they did last season and to keep that momentum going this season, I not only would keep that entire coaching staff, I'd make sure they stayed because I feel like they're 1 to 2 seasons away from doing something very special. So
I agree. Yeah.
So any short-sightedness coming from, I mean, from the fans, you can't get them to sit down and understand logic. And like as a group of people, individually, you can make them say like, hey, this is an investment in time, energy, and money. But as a group, you're going to have people saying, off with their heads. Like, no, look at what you got last season. It was like with the Brewers this past season. Everyone said the Brewers were going to suck. And now, and they did really well for their situation. And so let's see what happens this time.
I'm good with that. Look, at some point you've had enough time. I mean, think about how for literally years, 2-3 years, the most popular phrase in Wisconsin was fire Dom Capers.
Yeah.
Who was then the defensive coordinator of the Packers. But people had seen enough and could go, yeah, this is some bad coaching. But like I said, I'm with you. I'm not prepared to really say that yet. Tony writes from up in Ashland, it's balmy and one below out. It's the humidity, really, Tony says.
Get them and shorts really, and tanning butter on.
Oh, yeah. Tony writes, it really was a lot on the wide receiver injuries. They had touchdowns and first downs that didn't happen because routes were off by just a little bit. The play calls were good. I mean, there's no denying Christian Watson tearing that ACL. You know, that was a killer for us. And then the other injuries that, you know, Romeo Doubs going down with a possible concussion, and, you know, we were running out of tools real fast.
Yeah.
And so we enjoyed it. And now we bear winter, as Alicia writes on YouTube. It's just a tad cool out. Yep. It's just a flesh wound. It's nothing. It's my arm didn't fall off from frostbite. I'll be fine.
It's time to take back to the hut, eat that which we have hunted in the fall and saved, and brace ourselves for a winter that will be long.
It's a good thing I saved up all that whale blubber here.
Exactly.
In the blue,
see? You know, see?
Something's got to get me through. Well, let's turn our attention to things like the Up North News Daily newsletter, which you can get every weekday morning, nice and early, by signing up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts that together for us. And let's see. Well, you know what? I'm pulling it up right now, and she says, we were hoping to begin today's newsletter with an emphatic Go Pack Go after a Green Bay upset in Philadelphia. While, spoiler alert, that didn't happen. She writes, the Packers season was still a success. We improved from 9-8 a year ago to 11-6. Became the NFL's first ever team to 800 wins. We got to know Josh Jacobs. We watched Xavier McKinney record 5 interceptions in 5 weeks. Watched Malik Willis become a better backup than some team starters. And made our 37th trip to the postseason the most of any team. Pretty good for a little fan-owned team from America's smallest market, huh? And I mean, look what Christina Laurie just did. Put us all on the bright side. This is why we call her segment The Uplift. I mean, she's our Susie Sunshine.
I there's only one thing I take issue with. Speaking as a Brewers fan, whenever we say, we made it to the postseason, I'm like, yeah, I feel like now we should have to make it to round two.
Yes, yeah. Yes. This part is very true.
Yeah.
Also in the newsletter, of course, we've got a new session of the Wisconsin legislature underway. And one of the many new state representatives, Christian Phelps from Eau Claire, who's been on the program a number of times, has written an editorial column. You can find it on our website as well, upnorthnewswi.com. And it talks about the journey from back in last March, when it had never crossed his mind to ever run for office, to considering and becoming a candidate for assembly, the reasons why he decided to run, and the things that he wants to get done now that he is a member of the Wisconsin legislature. So again, you can read that editorial column by Christian Phelps at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. There's an excerpt in today's newsletter, and you can sign up to be a subscriber to the newsletter as well over at upnorthnewswi.com. When we come back, we'll take a review of some of the other headlines on this last full week of the Biden administration before the first week of the Trump administration, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, this cold Monday morning. When you're here, you are truly up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates.
You see how simple that is? There's a vote. You certify the results. Democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win. But that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
There's nothing you can do to turn me away. Nothing anyone can say. You're with me now, and as long as you stay, loving you's the right thing to do.
The number one album of 52 years ago this week was by Carly Simon. It was her third album, No Secrets. Featuring the hit single, You're So Vain. We'll hear from that later on, as well as that song right there, Love and You's the Right Thing to Do. Today's history lesson coming up in about a half hour here on Up North News Radio on this Monday morning, January 13th. Nice to have you along. I'm Pat Kreitlow. And looking at some of the headlines from last week, there was one closer to home that I wanted to pass along. The University of Wisconsin at the Madison campus, School of Engineering building, is going to get an infusion of funds thanks to other projects. The engineering building, already a big project, already delayed once before significantly by Republicans in the legislature, was delayed again a bit a couple of weeks back when Republicans on the State Building Commission balked at moving some funds from other campuses where projects had come in under budget to the Madison campus so that they could stick to the budget and make some additions to the engineering building. You'll recall a couple of weeks back, I said I frankly understood the Republican Building Commission members' frustration there. Not so much about the engineering building, but I just thought it was wrong that as an Eau Claire grad, you know, want to make that clear, that that new science building that they're building on the Eau Claire campus is decades overdue. And I'm happy that it is currently $70 million under budget, but it ain't done yet. And so even if it stays under budget all this time, I obviously have a bit of a parochial point of view in thinking, well, if Eau Claire did a project that came in $70 million under budget, I'm not saying that they should get to keep $70 million in cash. I'm not backing up, a Brinks truck full of gold bars or anything. But it just felt a little awkward, and I think any of the non-Madison campuses would say this, over coming in under budget and then tens of millions of dollars going down to the Madison campus. And I say that as somebody who fully supports the engineering school there. I think it's going to do a lot to be more competitive with other Big Ten schools. I think it's going to be a jobs pipeline for the state of Wisconsin. It's going to get more UW graduates to stay in the state of Wisconsin instead of leaving. It was just a little untoward looking at how it was handled to move the money around. But the Board of Regents, not the Board of Regents, the State Building Commission has since held another vote and has voted to release the funds from Eau Claire and other projects so that the engineering building can be finished. The fight will go on in Congress this week over President-elect Trump's cabinet nominations. The actual nomination or confirmation votes can't be held until Trump takes office, but you can begin the hearings and beginning to learn more about the nominees. And obviously, we've learned a lot about some of these nominees already. We've learned enough to know these are people that are unqualified for the job or a threat to the country in their taking the job. Pete Hegseth, for example, is a talking head on Fox News. I'm a talking head on the radio, but I'm not asking to run America's military. And Hegseth has some extremely well-documented issues with alcohol use, with women, with points of view about things like women in combat and other ways that he might run the department. But Donald Trump picks people based on what he sees on TV. And he has, at last count, it was at least 10 different people from the Fox so-called news channel that he has picked for various roles in the administration. And then it in his mind, it doesn't matter that it's Pete Hegseth. It doesn't matter that it's Tulsi Gabbard. And it doesn't matter if it's a ham sandwich. If he nominates a ham sandwich to be Secretary of Defense, he expects the Republicans in Congress to fall in line, because that's how he runs things. He is accountable to no one and will almost always listen to the last person in the room. I reach over here for one of my, this was a birthday present last year, not a Christmas present, but the George Stephanopoulos book, The Situation Room. The Situation Room, not the terrible Wolf Blitzer thing on CNN, the actual Situation Room in the White House. George Stephanopoulos, I finally finished this book over the weekend. A wonderful history of the Situation Room from when it was first conceived by one of JFK's top aides to its construction, much remodeling, many technology upgrades, and then behind the scenes vignettes of all manner of crises. From the Kennedy assassination all the way through like the Nixon presidency, where some folks might recall, I mean, there were times when Nixon was just blackout drunk and other people had to make decisions for him. There was, of course, the failed mission to rescue the hostages in Iran during the Carter presidency. And on it goes through the Obama administration's raid to kill bin Laden, and then up through the Trump presidency, where, again, the people who served in the Situation Room, these are some of the most brilliant minds in the military, and not just the people at the top. We're talking about all the aides and things that have to monitor a steady stream of information from all over the world. And they gather that only to, I would remind you, during Trump's first term, when he was in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin, said at a news conference that he believed what Putin said over what all of his advisors were telling him, what the military was telling him. And look, there's times when you get it wrong, think weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but that's the exception rather than the rule. And there is no doubt, as you read in this book and others, that Trump's decision making is based much less on any kind of informed thinking and reasoning and weighing various options, and instead shooting from the hip or the lip, as the case may be. Oftentimes, the last person that was in the Oval Office with him would upend something that he had decided an hour earlier. And this is what we're heading back into. We can't change him, but we can certainly give his cabinet nominations fair scrutiny. Back with more after this. You're up north. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Ballots are all in when it comes to federal milk marketing orders and their future. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. One of our University Extension dairy research specialists paying attention to the final count. Details next.
What makes Dairyland seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Leonard Polzin is our University Extension Dairy Market and Policy Outreach Specialist, and he says all the ballots are in. Now it's just a matter of finalizing the count.
Ballots have to be received by USDA by January 15th, so they had to be postmarked by December 31st. So all of the voting has taken place, waiting to receive ballots, and then once those ballots are received, the tallying process takes place. Once that happens, there will be an announcement that comes out, and it's important to note that there will be a period in between the announcement and when implementation takes place. So 30 days before implementing these changes, USDA will put out an announcement so that way industry and folks can plan accordingly.
Leonard Polzin, University Extension Dairy Market and Policy Outreach Specialist. He reminds dairy producers that the ballots were cast to basically either keep federal milk marketing orders in place or do away with them entirely. Again, as he pointed out, we should have the final decision before the end of the month. Markets look firm in overnight electronic trade. The numbers are next.
Pests are trying to turn parts of the corn belt into the corn rootworm belt. But DeKalb brand says, not on our watch. Crush corn rootworm with DeKalb brand SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology. It's the outstanding yield potential of DeKalb corn with advanced protection against corn rootworm. When pest pressure is highest, hit back your hardest. Talk to your DeKalb representative. Never settle. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
In overnight electronic trade on a Monday morning, right now we've got March corn up three at 473, December new crop up a penny and a half at 452. March beans are up eight, 1033, November new crop up a nickel, 1036. March wheat's up seven at 538, July new crop up a nickel, 560. Friday, the barrel cheese dropped 2 cents to 185. 40-pound block cheese dropped 7¾ cents on Friday to 182. This morning, the February class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 13 cents at 2014 a hundredweight. There's a quick market snapshot for you on a Monday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's cold out there this morning. The wind chill close to 20 below, and we're going to keep that wind chill factor below zero all day here today. Partly cloudy, four above our high this afternoon. Tonight, another wind chill night with an actual low of 5 below. Tomorrow, sunshine 9 above. We're back to 25 on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 8 below.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Donald Trump says he's going to drill, baby drill, when he gets into office. Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, explains what that means for us. And we go beyond the cheese in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Boom, boom, boom. Hey, looky under coming, coming down that railroad track. Hey, looky under coming. Coming down that railroad track, it's that orange blossom special, bringing my baby back.
That crowd noise you're hearing is at the Folsom Prison in California, and we'll tell you about Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison, and a little record that he made coming up in our history lesson in about 15 minutes here or so on Up North News Radio. Again, you can follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Did you... Greg Bach at Radio Park.
Hello.
Hello. I was making sure that you were still at the tropical location here in Wisconsin. Yes, you are.
At 15 degrees.
You're, and again, you know, in a Civic Media T-shirt, you weather it all.
Well, I'm a big guy, so I'm warm all the time, and I got a nice jacket here. So, I mean, it's nice and cozy in the studio, let me tell you. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But outside, I woke up this morning and I looked at my phone and I went, ah, God. I was just because it was 16 degrees outside.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning around this time, I always look at the weather and I'm just like hoping for, you know, 25.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it had to give me 16. And then I walk outside, my mustache is frozen. And it's just not good.
It's funny, the little difference just a few degrees can make, you know, here or there. In fact, somebody was telling me last week that they were so sure that their kids would be inside and not on the playground, but sure enough, the kids were on the playground because the cutoff was 10 degrees.
Oh, really?
I think it was like 15, and the kids were outside playing, which kind of surprised her. But, you know, that's every school district's got its rules, and I suppose it's up to the parents to know the rules.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was like 30 degrees and below that they stay inside. Okay.
Well, that's certainly what I would have done, but you know, I'm not the superintendent, so what do I know? Let's see. Alicia writes it on Facebook. My boxer went out and came back in. No shenanigans. Yes. I told you one of our favorite hobbies now for me and Sherry is to just pass our phones back and forth as we get stupid videos coming up on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think she had the one last night of the two types of dogs. There's the one dog that runs out and plays in the snow and jumps in the snowbank. And the other takes two steps, piddles on your welcome mat and comes right back in. Says, nope, that's it.
Maybelle is definitely the first. She gets outside. The cold doesn't really bother her because she knows exactly when to come inside.
Mm-hmm.
But she definitely doesn't do like, no, I'm out of here. She's like, no, I'm going to run around a little bit. I'm going to try to eat some snow. I'm going to bark some squirrels and then I'll come inside. You know, it's like she gets it, but I'm like, this is too cold for you, honey. It's too much.
Well, again, at least it's not the two steps thing. So Tony writes in on YouTube from Ashland, our outside temp at school is zero. If it's not negative, kids are outside.
Wow.
But again, that's Ashland, you know, up there on the Arctic Circle. This is, you know, this is the tundra. And now he adds, to quote Queen Elsa, the cold never bothered me anyway. Good for you, Tony. That's what we need. That's what you need if you're going to live up, you know, on the lake like that.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean,
contrast that with one Dr. Lyerly, who normally joins us at this time on Mondays and is winging her way homeward as we speak from some tropical climate that I thought we might hear about today, but we're going to have to wait till next week. But
she's
had a lovely break. But you've got a break before long. I've got a break next month.
Yeah.
This is what you... You have to have something to anticipate to get you through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that still hasn't been spring training, but someday. That's you know, kind of one of my bucket list things.
Same here, and I really want to go. Like, my mom and I have been talking about doing this for years, and now her and her lovely male companion, they go to Arizona every March and they for a few weeks, and they go to spring training. And I'm just trying to figure out a way to get there for a little bit, just a couple days, and just to, because I want to go see spring training with her before it's too late, and mm-hmm. and I want to go to spring training too. So I was thinking, Pat, maybe you and I, we could talk to the Courier News / Up North News people, and uh-huh. maybe make it a business trip. Pat Kreitlow live from spring training.
Let's see. I've been with Courier for 5 years. Yeah. If you think I haven't figured out a way by now to expense a spring training trip, you know that that's something I ain't figured out yet. But I'll keep thinking about that.
Come on, buddy.
How we can get this done. We've been talking about the transition to the Trump administration and needed a moment of levity before we dove back in to tell you the one of the other news stories about that. It turns out, in this story from the Associated Press, incoming senior Trump administration officials have begun questioning career civil servants who work in the White House National Security Council about who they voted for in the 2024 election, their political contributions, and whether they have made social media posts that could be considered incriminating by President-elect Donald Trump, according to a U.S. official familiar with the matter. At least some of these non-political employees have begun packing up their belongings since being asked about their loyalty to Trump, after they had been given indications that they would be asked to stay on at the National Security Council in the new administration. Trump's pick for National Security Advisor, Florida Congressman Mike Waltz, publicly signaled his intention to get rid of all non-political appointees and career intelligence officials by Inauguration Day to ensure the council is staffed with toadies. I'm sorry, no, it's with those who support Trump's agenda. Well, basically the same thing, you know, in so many words. This is five alarm fire. There's just no other way to put this. And I just got done talking about the Situation Room and having independent civil servants who are there to serve the country. And that's the difference with this far right faction. You call it MAGA, you call it Trumpist, you call it whatever it was, whatever you want to call it. They do not believe in such a thing as nonpartisan public service, that there are people who actually just want to serve their country. They believe that, I don't even think it's that they believe that everybody is either Republican or Democrat. I don't think they care about that. I think it's either you're with us or you're against us. Let me use the situation from when I served in the legislature. And the same definitely applies to Congress. I'm absolutely sure of this. The support staff, the nonpartisan support staff, whether it's the support staff that keeps the Situation Room running in the White House, or the Legislative Fiscal Bureau in Madison, the Legislative Reference Bureau, a host of other offices there, they serve year after year after year, no matter who's in charge, no matter who's the governor, no matter what party runs the legislature. And they are some of the most amazing, decent, whip-smart, patient people you could ever want to meet. And they're there for a host of reasons. I'm sure the pay and the benefits aren't terrible. But you get to know them. And you understand that they know that they have talents, they have skills that can be put to use in serving their state, in serving their country, in serving their community. Now imagine, a Donald Trump type character coming in, let's say Scott Walker were to be reelected governor or something like that, were to come in and to say to all these people, some of whom have served for decades, and to be asked, who did you vote for? And when you hear about people packing up their things and leaving, it's for one of two reasons. It's either they know that they did not vote for Trump and they're essentially being fired, or what's more likely, when you hear about these employees packing up, Trump and his supporters are going to say, see, we're getting rid of all the liberals. No. There's probably several people there that vote Republican consistently, but they do not want their loyalty questioned. After years of service, who is Donald Trump to question their loyalty? Who is Florida Congressman Mike Waltz to question their loyalty? But they do, not their loyalty to their country, their loyalty to Trump. And they're going to be replaced with people who aren't nearly as skilled, aren't nearly as talented, and certainly not independent enough to speak truth to power. And that's what every administration needs, president, governor. It's what every state legislator needs, is somebody willing to say no. And coming back to the book here for a moment, and also some of the other things that I've read during the transition, you have people who served in the first Trump administration who now regret their role. At the time, they thought, well, you know, Trump's going to need some help. I'm going to help along. And there were people there saying, no, you can't do that, sir. You know, you can't do that. They were the guardrails. Looking back now, some of them blame themselves for us being put back into this position. I would argue a more dangerous position of Trump coming into office without the guardrails. Because by being his guardrails in the first term, essentially they enabled him, they shielded the country from his worst instincts. And there will be no such shield this time, especially when you see what this is. Call it what it is. It's a purge. It's a purge of good Americans, service-minded, to be replaced with people who are not nearly as good. And I don't know when the word elite became such a bad thing in this country. You know how it's been used. Oh, those elites. I want elites. I want elite members of the military serving in the Navy SEALs, for example. I want elite people. I want the best serving our country or our state or our community. I want people that can be described as elite. And you know what? If it describes their attitude as well for some of them because they know their stuff, I'm okay with that. If they know their stuff and if they perform. But Trump and many others prior to him got way too much traction with some voters by saying, oh, we're going to get rid of those haughty elites. And people kind of shook their fist and said, oh, yeah, let's get rid of those. You know, get rid of the pointy-headed people out there. It's like, I don't know when we decided to stop valuing high intelligence matched up with a notion to serve. But that's what we're going to see now. And trust me, I've heard the voices from before this election and now after this election saying, you guys are making too big a deal about this. You know, the country didn't go to hell when Trump was president the first time. It'll be fine. It will not be fine. And it was not fine the first time. There are many, many Americans who died who did not have to because of how Trump botched the pandemic. There are people around the world who died because Trump shifted alliances. You know, ask the Kurds what happened when troops from Turkey were able to come in and start killing them at large after years of Kurdish support for the U.S. There were real consequences to Trump's first time in office. And I'm not here to sound alarmist. I'm not. I'm here to say folks made their choice. And there are not going to be as many guardrails this time around, especially in Congress, where, again, that's a place where somebody, a co-equal branch of government, could stand up and say no. It also isn't happening in the U.S. Supreme Court, where the three justices that Trump appointed last time, because Mitch McConnell stole a couple of those seats, will, even if Congress were to stand up, this Supreme Court is probably able to get in the way of Congress and say, nope, Mr. President, whatever it is you want to do, you have the right to do that. Which reminds me, if in fact this Supreme Court thinks that presidents can do almost anything as long as they believe it's part of their official duties, well, President Biden, you got 6.5 days. And I would say don't waste a moment of it in some of your final official duties. Like, I don't know, release the special counsel's report today. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
Drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
The album itself begins before the song does with him just saying, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." Everybody knows that. Everybody who used to do impressions of him, it starts with that. In today's history lesson, we're topping off with Johnny Cash, who played two shows for inmates at Folsom Prison in California. It was not his first prison concert. He'd played several. This was the first one that was recorded and packaged and became the acclaimed live album at Folsom Prison. Let's see, also in today's history lesson, it was on this day in 1962 that Gene Chandler released a song. You might not know the name, but you've definitely heard the song and maybe tried to do an impression of it once or twice yourself. On this same day in 1962, as Gene Chandler was releasing Duke of Earl, we get to today's birthdays. Born this day in 1962, making him 63 years old today, would be country singer Trace Adkins, who had this little ditty.
His fault is so hard not to stare at that honky tonk, but don't get down.
I don't
I really
know.
Kind of feel like we've really kind of come alpha and omega on the music timeline, you know, this very romantic Duke of Earl. Can't wait to meet her. And honky donk, badonkadonk. Trace Adkins,
I think,
63 years old.
Trace was in his late 40s when he did this song. I'm like, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, you're like a grandpa.
Yep. There's no way to make this transition now. Selena Heller joins us, North News reporter.
What?
She literally signed on just as Badonkadonk is coming.
I know. I see her popping up, and I'm like, well, I got no way to make this one. So good Here morning, Selena. How are you?
Badonkadonk. That's where I'm starting off this Monday morning.
That's right.
I wanted to say really quick, Pat, that at one of his many concerts, but what Johnny Cash's San Quentin prison concert,
yes,
Merle Haggard was in the audience.
Yes, that's right. I was going to mention that. Thank you for catching that. Yeah. Yes,
and
that's
that was
right.
He was serving 15 years. He had been in prison. Yep. He'd escaped many times. He planned to he planned to be a prisoner for the rest of his life if he wasn't doing crime. And seeing Johnny Cash perform changed his life, and he became one of the most prolific songwriters in country music as an artist. Yeah. So yeah, Merle Haggard, you know, just sitting there watching Johnny Cash singing some country music. It's good stuff.
But again, it's that reminder, you never know who you're influencing.
Oh,
you never know. Somebody has heard something, and I know there are people, you know, teachers and others, they'll never know the impression that they made on me and the things that I emulate, you know, because of them.
Yeah.
And so you got to be watching yourself all the time out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus, the actor, is 64 years old today. I watch her every year on Christmas Vacation. Apparently there was some show she was on. Seinfeld, was it? Was that the name of it?
I just know her from her work from SNL back in the 80s.
You're one of the few. Yes. Yeah. And Shonda Rhimes is 55 years old today. How many shows has Shonda Rhimes written or produced or put out? We got to be in double digits by now in terms of network shows by her. She is to the early 2000s what Taylor Sheridan is right now with Yellowstone and everything else.
12. She's at 12.
12. There you go. Double digits. Yep. I don't know if Grey's Anatomy was maybe the first.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And
I'll wait for someone to correct us.
Oh, they always do. Let's see. We mentioned Carly Simon before. Her third album, No Secrets, hit number one this day in 1973. Let's see, it was on this day in 2018 that a false emergency alert warning of an impending missile strike in Hawaii caused widespread panic in the state. You guys remember that at all? Just people in Hawaii, their phones were all blowing up, like imminent missile strike, take shelter.
Oh my gosh, how scary.
I know. It's like, and then, you know, the follow-up comes. Oops, you know.
Just kidding.
Yeah, yep.
Hey, remember that message?
Wasn't that funny? Remember that time? You. Yeah. It was on this day. Wow, can't believe it's been 5 years. This day 5 years ago, the Ministry of Public Health in Thailand confirmed the first COVID-19 case outside of China.
Whoa.
On this day 4 years ago, outgoing President Donald Trump was impeached for a second time, this one on a charge of inciting an insurrection. And once again, Republican senators let him off the hook.
Outgoing, on that sounds so good. Day,
No. On this day 3 years ago. Oh, Selena doesn't know what this is. Selena, this song 3 years ago became the first video to reach 10 billion views on YouTube. Care to take a guess? Just think, you've been a parent of a little kid. Think parent of a little kid.
I only know like Blippi and
Go ahead and play it, Greg.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, my
God. Baby Shark.
Yeah, we play that a lot.
Reached 10 billion views on YouTube.
And now it's at 15 billion.
Oh my gosh. Goodness.
This is National Korean American Day. Happy Korean American Day to the 2 million Korean Americans out there. National Rubber Ducky Day. National Gluten Free Day. National Clean Your Desk Day. Selena Heller is going to be back after the news, and we're going to hear from former Governor Marty Schreiber about former President Jimmy Carter with his passing. Martin Schreiber was governor at about the same time. But we're going to close the segment remembering the great Sam Moore of Sam and Dave. He passed away on Friday at the age of 89. He and Sam and Dave gave us Soul Man and I Thank You. And I still love his duet with Conway Twitty, A Rainy Night in Georgia. But here's arguably the biggest Sam and Dave song for Sam Moore. Back after the news on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the author of Building the Bucks, Jordan Tresky, and talk entertainment with Capital Times reporter Victoria Davis. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Two dozen people killed, more than 12,000 structures, including thousands of homes, now gone. As Santa Ana winds are expected to pick up again this week in Southern California, questions are turning as to who or what could be responsible for starting the Los Angeles area wildfires. Here's ABC's Matt Gutman.
Authorities in L.A. County are now investigating the possible causes of the fire. Southern California Edison says while the Eaton fire started in its service area, a preliminary analysis shows no interruptions or electrical or operational anomalies until more than an hour after the reported start time of the fire. The company also says no fire agency has suggested that its equipment caused the Eaton fire to ignite.
At least 16 people are still listed as missing, a number of authorities say is likely to rise, along with the death toll. Incoming Trump administration cabinet picks before Senate committees today. As their confirmation hearings begin, 14 nominees will be questioned. This is ABC News.